The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. Hope you're having a great day. Happy Friday. Okay, some dating advice. Ready? Are you ready? Perhaps this is for you. Maybe it's for your son or your daughter, grandson, granddaughter. Maybe you have teenagers. Maybe they're in college. Whatever the case may be, Christians and dating. Date for at least a year. Don't date for any more than a year. Date exclusively in groups. Make sure you get plenty of time one-on-one. These are contradictory, are they not? Don't kiss before you're married. How can you know you have chemistry without kissing? Clear boundaries in place. Don't try to follow everyone else's rules. Spend lots of time together, or be careful how much time you spend together. Date a bunch of people before getting serious. Don't date anyone until you're ready to marry them. Okay, so now this is in Desiring God, which is Piper's website, the golden rule in Christian dating. Then they look at three different areas. Golden rule, you know, love your neighbors yourself, stuff like that. How should Christians approach dating? This is in Christianity.com. Though there are many dating methods and rules suggested in Christian circles, the Bible does not explicitly discuss how a Christian should approach dating. Among modern evangelical Christians, there have been multiple books, movements, we're going to talk about one here in just a second, and rules presented as the quote-unquote biblical approach or method to dating from Joshua Harris's I Kiss Dating Goodbye in the early 2000s. It was 2003. I'm going to talk about that. To the many rules for dating in contemporary Christian circles, there's no end to supposed scriptural views on dating. Amid this overwhelming sea of methods and rules, many Christians wonder what the Bible says about this overly discussed topic and how they should approach dating. Specifically, there is nothing in the Bible about dating. In fact, none of the people mentioned in the Bible ever dated, quote unquote, but rather participated in prearranged marriages and betrothals. The modern Western idea of dating did not exist in biblical times, and even many cultures today do not practice dating either. Then there's this one, why you should never actually date to marry. Have you heard that one? Date to marry, what is that? Dating for marriage has everything to do with your intentions. Some people go on dates or have short-term relationships for the fun of it. They want someone to hang out with and aren't interested in a long-term commitment. Ooh, that sounds a little spicy, doesn't it? When you date to marry, it doesn't necessarily mean you want to marry every person you date. It means that your intention of dating them and getting to know them on a deeper level is to see if marriage is a possibility. So dating to marry just means you don't even bother dating unless you're actually ready to settle down. I'm going to go on a date because I'm ready to get married and I need to find a mate, right? And then here's this other one, another article, why you should never actually date to marry. So this is all over the map. We've dealt with this several times over the years in our own family, back to Josh Harris, who wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye when he was all of 20 or 21 years of age. So not exactly a wellspring of wisdom at the time. But it sold over 1 million copies. Do you remember that? It was 2003. And so you had all of a sudden, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Dating is just prep. It's just if you date and break up and date and break up, it's just preparation or practice for divorce. That's all that is. And plus, when you're out there dating, you're just exposing yourself to temptation. Here's what he said. This is a Josh Harris quote from the book. Having a girlfriend was no longer my greatest need. Knowing and obeying him was, him being the Lord. I wanted to please him in my relationships, even if it meant looking radical and foolish to other people, even if it meant kissing, dating, goodbye. Now, an interesting caveat on Josh Harris a couple of years ago, he came out and, quote unquote, deconstructed his faith and said on social media, of all the things that make you a Christian, I don't believe them anymore. And then subsequently, within a couple of weeks, again on Instagram, announced, he and his wife announced an amicable divorce. And then a couple of weeks later, he was seen at a gay pride parade. Now, he hasn't officially come out, but he did. He has walked away from the faith. The story's not over till he's dead, and walked away from his marriage. And maybe he's a homosexual. That's not official yet. He hasn't said anything about that yet. But that was a big deal. And my wife and I jumped right on the bandwagon with the kiss dating goodbye thing. And like, yeah, that's just preparation for divorce. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. And then the question is, well, how are you going to figure out who you're going to marry unless you actually go on some dates and get to know what it's like to spend time with a member of the opposite sex? I know that sounds so patriarchal and old-fashioned and homophobic. It isn't. And so what do you do with that? What do you do with dating, Christians and dating? Do you just avoid it altogether? You only start dating when you're ready to get married? Or is there nothing wrong with your 16 or 17-year-old daughter or son going out on some, you know, little dates here and there? And go to the mall, go to a movie, go whatever, hang out on the back deck, hang out in the bonus room, doors open, watching a movie, playing a video game, whatever. Or is that just totally wrong and you're still in the Josh Harris camp? So that's my question of today. I was at home earlier today and thinking, I'm going to do a call-in show. I used to do a lot of those. And just ask you a question. And the question I have for you today is, should young Christian people date or not? Should they kiss dating goodbye? Is that dating just the wrong thing to do? It's just kind of worldly. You're just using people. And so it's wrong. That was Josh Harris's position way back in 2003. Or is it okay? So what do you think about dating and this whole notion of dating to marry? You shouldn't date until you're ready to. You're dating. You put your bait in the pond because you're trying to land the one. Other than that, you don't cast. You don't bait the hook. Nothing. You don't date. Or do you need to date in order to figure out, you know, how do you operate? How do you have a good, decent relationship? How do you get to know a member of the opposite sex? What do you think? That's my question for you. 866-348-7884. And play along, everybody. And if you want to throw in there adult Christians in dating, that's fine. Divorce, a widow, widower, whatever the case may be. But primarily, I want to talk about the advice we want to give to our young people today about dating. Yes, no, somewhere in between. Please give me a call. I want to hear from you. What do you think about Christians dating? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Christians in dating. Yes, no, maybe so. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. Should we kiss dating goodbye like Josh Harris did back in 2003? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Okay, parents, fellow parents out there, maybe grandparents, and you've got some grandchildren that are teenagers, you know, 14, 15, 16, 18, 20 in college. This whole notion of Christians and dating, Josh Harris, of course, wrote, sold over 1 million copies, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. That was 2003. And a lot of us evangelicals jumped on that. That's just practice for divorce. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I replace you. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I replace you. I like you. You don't like me. You dump me. You replace me. Is that just practice for divorce? What's the deal with Christians and dating? Let's think specifically. What would you tell a 14 or a 15 or 17-year-old Christian, young man, young woman, about dating? And they're yours or your grandchildren? Yes, no, maybe so, somewhere in between. What do you do with that? This isn't a conversation I hear very often anymore. I think because of the proliferation of social media and all that stuff. We're talking. That's the thing. Now we're talking. The text back and forth. Well, they don't. Maybe texting, Snapchat, whatever. All that kind of stuff. But dating, actually, one-on-one, the two of you go out. Or you might say, no. It's got to be you and 20 other people, mixed group from your youth group at church. Otherwise, forget it. What do you do with this one? Christians and dating, specifically younger Christians, kids in Christian families. 866-348-7884. Would love to hear from you today. Come, let us reason one to another, as it says in the Old Testament. So would really like to hear your thoughts on this. And this is for a lot of us parents and grandparents out there. It helps to talk through this stuff and work through it, consider things. And again, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, dating really wasn't a thing back then. It was betrothal. It was arranged marriages. And so that's why you can't, thou shalt or thou shalt not date. You can't find it. But it obviously it can lead to temptations and things like that. So what do you do with it? Christians and dating. 866-348-7884. Please call in and share your thoughts or experiences. Maybe you went down the I kiss dating goodbye road in your family and it worked or it didn't. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Would love to hear from you. Let's go to Charlotte's calling in. Oh, gone. All right, so Mark Harris, so anybody else, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And some of my friends on Facebook Live are like, you know, the courting thing, they'll come over to our house or my son or daughter will go over to their house, hang out with their family, but no, none of this alone stuff. They're not going to a movie. They're not going to go for a walk in the park, anything like that. What about marrying young? Anna said, this is a great question. And this is a big challenge. This is where there's been some problems with I Kissed Dating Goodbye and that whole movement from the 2003 when he wrote that book and it exploded. And he's recanted of all that, by the way. What about marrying young? My son recently asked me the question about how old can he be to marry? I grew up dating and with casual relationships into my 20s. Should we be teaching our men to seek out a spouse in their late teens? And to that, in the listen, it's not 150 AD. A 16-year-old in 2022 is like a puppy. And I would say, no. You should not be getting married at 16 or 17 or 18. I think you lack wisdom and don't know what you're doing. But there's this pressure here, this date-to-marry pressure that, hey, you know, you're dating now. You don't date unless you're really – are you ready to make a commitment? Are you ready to find your spouse? Then don't date. But then they really want to date. And then sometimes they get into it, and the shame in the Christian culture is if you break up, that means you're just using somebody. You're worldly, you're fleshly, you're carnal, right? You see the problems that can creep up there? 866-348-7884 is the number. And seriously, just call in and share your opinion on it. Don't be afraid. I don't beat people up on this show. You want to do that, go to Sean Hannity or somewhere else. I don't do that. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get that Josh Harris clip ready to go. So this is Josh Harris did a TED Talk. And now Josh Harris eventually recanted of I Kissed Dating Goodbye. He actually recanted of his faith and got divorced. I think there's a good chance he's homosexual, but we'll see. That hasn't officially happened yet. But this was him doing a TED Talk talking about I Kissed Dating Goodbye when he stepped down from the mega church he pastored up in Virginia and then went to grad school. So he's talking to students and he's meeting some people that had been caught up in the I Kissed Dating Goodbye movement. And here's what Josh had to say. Go ahead.
And I developed relationships with my fellow students, and a lot of them started to share stories with me about the effect my book had had, and many times this was a negative effect, and I couldn't just write them off as angry trolls on the internet. These were my friends, and so I listened. And then one day on Twitter, of all places, this woman wrote me, and she said, "Your book was used against me like a weapon." And I almost didn't answer her because I was afraid she would lash out at me. But on this particular day, I just answered and said, "I'm so sorry." Such a simple human interaction. And that interaction led to a conversation. And that conversation led to a friendship. And that friendship changed me. She said something to me that I'll never forget. She told me that back and forth on Twitter was the first time that a religious leader had ever acknowledged getting something wrong and ever apologized to her. And I heard that and I just thought, there's something really unhealthy about this. That led me to open up my website and invite people to share their stories of the effect my book had had. And we just published them uncensored on the website. Some of those were stories of people having a positive experience, but others were heart-wrenching. Others were from people who were really angry and hurt. And now I'm in this process of working with a fellow student at my grad school who was a woman who was hurt by my book growing up. And we're producing a documentary that's sharing the journey of me going back and looking at the book, but also trying to tell a bigger story about how religious communities talk about sexuality and talk about relationships and what it looks like to face up to moments when we don't get everything right, even when we're well-intentioned.
So that's Josh Harris. He's the author behind I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which came out in 2003. And, you know, and then he's meeting people where the book and that notion hurt them because, and this was what happened back then. I remember this, that if somebody, if kids in the youth group, kids at your church are dating, they're out there dating, then people would look at him and go, whoa, that there's some sin going on there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're just out there using each other, and she must be promiscuous, and he's promiscuous too, or he's just using people, using and abusing. And so people that are out there dating, and if they haven't done anything wrong, they haven't crossed any lines, you're looking down your nose at them. Or you're pushing them towards marriage at 17 or 18 or 19 years of age, and they don't know the realities involved with that from a hole in the wall. But we're pushing them in because we say, no, you don't date unless you're dating to get married. And then you push them towards marriage. And that I've seen that blow up many, many times. And it's blown up with people that I know and love. And so that's why this topic is coming up today about dating, Christians and dating, whether they're our teenagers or early 20s, you know, college. And if you're a parent, you know the pressure of that most likely, because dating is it necessarily wrong? That's my question for you. Do we want our kids to date? Is it okay? Or is that like, oh boy, get that scarlet letter on there. Get that A on there. Maybe not for adulterer. Get a W on there for whore. Is that it? Is that how you look at dating? Patricia, our friend from Albuquerque, I'm going to get to you after the break because I don't want to bring you up on the air and then have to put you right back on hold. So, Patricia, if you will hold there. I want to hear from you guys on this. This is really an important topic, especially for our kids. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Yeah, you want to get into a street fight at your house if you have teenagers? Bring up the topic of dating. They're 14, 15, 16, 17. They want to date. Hey, that nice guy, nice girl, whatever. It's no big deal. It's not like we're going to do anything, Mom. Give me a break, Dad. And then you're like, nope, no dating. Unless Billy, you're ready to find a spouse. I know you're only a sophomore in high school, but if you say you're ready to find a spouse and this is a person you can commit your life to for the next 40 or 50 or 60 years, then okay, fine. But if you're not looking for a spouse, no dating. Not going to happen. Not getting my blessing. You can't do it. We're just going to shut it down. What do you do with that? Christians, young Christians in particular, and dating. And dating to marry. If you're going to date, you better be ready to get married. Or if you want to throw getting married in at a young age, I'm talking 18, 19, 20. If you want to throw that in there, it's fine. But if you talk about your parents or your grandparents and they got married at 14 or 15 or 18, which is beautiful, that's a great testimony, but it was also a long time ago and the world is quite different today. So we were able to do it then, but people were much more mature at an earlier age, 60, 70, 80 years ago than they are today. Today, now they're, you know, get a college degree, live in the basement, work at Starbucks or whatever. So that adolescence is now stretched out into the late 20s, which is kind of ridiculous. Let's go to our friend Patricia calling in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Great to hear from you as always, Patricia. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. At first, I thought you meant you were talking about just dating in general. And after 33 years, Richard and I got divorced. And I'm telling you, it's like Bambi on the ice. So when I think about these young people, oh, I'm telling you, I know how Dorothy felt when she hit the Munchkin Land. I'm telling you, if I'd have had children, I'd have had the same rule my parents had with me. I'm just a hair older than you, Steve. I'm 58, okay. Just a little hair over. And they said, if a boy will not come in the house and meet us, you do not date them, period. And that's the rule I live by, and it was a good rule. And yep. But no, 17, 18 at the very earliest, I would say. And with what I see on TV and what I watch with young people, I just, oh, my gosh, I don't have children, but I would have been very No. Let's really think about what we're doing when we date. Go roller skating together. You know, that's fine. Group activities are great. Yeah. Youth activities. But dating one-on-one, let's not do that for quite a while yet.
Yeah, and especially, and you referenced, Patricia, and I appreciate you referencing the way things are today, and some people, some younger people might look at us and go, yeah, that's what old people say. No, that's just a reality. Things are much more highly charged today. The sexual culture that we live in, average age of first time exposure to porn now is about 8 or 9 years of age. I mean, it's highly sexualized, and yeah, it's just insanity. And so now the waters are more shark infested today than they were when you and I were 16, 17, 18, 20 years of age.
I know that for a fact, because guess who jumped back in the water when Jaws decided to come swimming by? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it's can obviously tough, be a problem. To say the least.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Great to hear from you, Patricia. Thanks for your input, as always.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. Have a great weekend. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. And that's something to consider. How do you handle that? Especially if you're a mom or a dad out there and you have a teenager. Maybe they're 18, 19, 20. The pressure to get married. Maybe you have a story about that. We've had friends go through that. We've been plenty of experiences around the Noble family that we've seen that massive pressure to get married. And you don't date unless you're ready to marry, dating to marry. And if you're not ready to get married, Billy, Jimmy, whatever, then you shouldn't date. Now today, to Patricia's point, because the culture is so much more highly sexualized, movies, Snapchat, whatever, Instagram, now it's like, everybody's kind of got a turbocharger now, younger people. And I think it's more difficult now because it's so much more prevalent today than it was in, say, 1980 to 1984 when I was in high school. They're still human beings. You still have temptation and everything. But today, everything's so highly charged. And STDs are all over the place, and young people are much more promiscuous. So is dating a bigger problem now just from that challenge? And how do you know if you can trust your 17-year-old son or daughter to go out and date? 866-348-7884. You guys are awfully quiet today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Christian teenagers, should they be allowed to date? Do you say yes? Do you say no? Maybe you're a courtship person. It's fine if they come over. Go out with a group. Like Patricia said, go roller skating if anybody does that anymore. But go to a movie one-on-one in a dark movie house, movie theater? Yes. No. What's the deal with that? How do you handle that one? Do you allow it? Do you not? So they go, no, that's trouble. Steve, you said it already. That's trouble. You're setting them up for failure. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I like what Talia said on Facebook Live. Honestly, families must deal with this on a case-by-case basis. Some people should marry young. Some should not. It's about the hearts involved and the individual circumstances. Prayer is key. I think for most of you, if your 17 or 18-year-old says, hey, my girlfriend and I, my boyfriend and I, we want to get married. What's your first reaction to that, your gut reaction? Mine is, you're an idiot. You're 17, you're 18. What do you know? You can't possibly be ready, right? That would be my first thought. Pat said, how about starting with an intentional friendship and know yourself first, including seeing your own blind spots? J.D. Greer, pastor of the Summit Church here in Raleigh, said you shouldn't start dating until you don't have to. I don't need to date. I don't need to spend time with somebody else to find my fulfillment, right? You're going to get your self-worth by dating. And if nobody wants to date you, your self-worth goes in the tank. Because if you're a Christian, obviously, you know where your self-worth should come from. It should come from the fact that, number one, you're made in the image of God. You have inestimable worth. And number two, Jesus died for you, and that establishes your worth right there on a cross 2,000 years ago. It's not what some guy or girl thinks. It's not how many likes you get on your picture on Instagram or whatever. That doesn't establish your self-worth. God does. And so I like that advice from J.D. Greer. Don't date until you don't need to. And then once you need to, because you're not putting all that weight. Another friend of mine, Matt Papa, great Christian singer, songwriter, hymn writer, said that nothing can withstand the weight of your worship except God. Nothing can withstand the weight of your worship except God. So if you get in and you see this happen, don't you? You see young people getting into relationships and it's like all consuming. And if I don't hear from this person, if they don't reply to my text fast enough, I mean, it's just like codependency on steroids. And that's idolatry, really. And then they just get that's like their they're trying to find so much in that relationship, and it can't withstand the weight of their worship. That was Matt Papa's point. Nothing can take the weight of your worship other than the Lord. Everything else is going to collapse. It can't handle it. It's not going to deliver. And I think you see that a lot with young people in dating. 866-348-7884 is the phone number. Guys, you're quiet out there. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Another friend on Facebook. We had a nightmare with a 14-year-old grandson. The mother of one of his classmates invited him to go to a movie. Invited him to go to a movie, a horrible movie, by the way. He was naive. We were told he was going with another couple of friends, not just one girl. They basically lied to make it happen and never got permission to go to an R-rated movie. So then you're like, okay, golly, what are you going to do then? Right? Because they go, because you don't know. You think, well, my son, my daughter would never do that. Really? Really? Is your son or daughter somehow outside of the sin nature of mankind? You do have to be, and to Josh Harris's point when he wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye, there were some things in there that I would still agree with, that you go one-on-one dating, temptation is real. Sexual temptation is real. And again, I remember talking to our sons when we did Passport to Purity, right? And you're getting them to make a commitment. Where are you going to draw the lines? Until you get married, what will you do? What will you not do? How do you deal with that biblically, since you're a Christian? And you know, and I remember telling both my sons, the first time a girl holds your hand, you're going to be shocked at your reaction to that. It's not going to be like some piece of toast without butter and jam on it. That's just whatever. No, I warned them. You're going to be shocked at the amount of power that has when a girl holds your hand for the first time or hugs you, or you put your arm around her and she lets it stay there, or that first kiss, whether it's terribly intimate or not, just that physical touch. I mean, you guys are playing with dynamite here. And there's a solution to that. We know what our solution is. It's not comprehensive sex ed from a biblical standpoint. It's abstinence. But you go, you know what the solution is? Just don't, you don't want to get bit by a shark? Don't get in the water. Back to Jaws, what Patricia was talking about. You don't want to get bit by a great white shark? Don't get in the water. Right? Isn't that simple? That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So if you don't want to get bit by a great white shark, if you don't want to deal with the sexual temptation, or maybe you date a girl or a guy who's sexually aggressive and that's going to tie into this sexual nature that you have as a human being, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble. So just don't do it. Don't date. Group, that's fine. Hang out at church, that's fine. You know, come over to our house, watch a movie, eat dinner with the fam. But if you think you're going to go be alone together, forget it. That's not happening. Or, hey man, they got to learn somehow. They got to learn somehow. It's just life. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. I don't know. Is Steely Dan good dating music? I'm getting so old. I'm 56. Is Steely Dan good? I mean, I don't know. I used to think about that when I was dating in high school. I'm like, what kind of music can I put on that makes me seem kind of cool, or maybe makes the car ride to the movie theater seem romantic, whatever. Get me some Lionel Richie or whatever. All that kind of garbage. Or you shouldn't be doing it at all. You shouldn't be dating at all. That's my question for you today. Kind of jumping off of the Josh Harris book that was written in 2003. Where he declared, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. That blew up. He sold over 1 million copies of that. He was only like 21 when he wrote it. And then it just took off. It was in youth groups and all over the place. And it's like, yeah, you don't date unless you're ready to get married. Hey, Billy. Hey, Cindy. At sophomore in high school. Are you ready to get married? Like in the next year or so? No, sir. Well, then you shouldn't be dating. That's just practice for divorce. I like you. I don't like you. I replace you. I like you, I don't like you, I replace you. I like you, I dump you. That's just practice for divorce. Is that the deal? Now that took off. We were a part of that. We were like, yep, no, that makes perfect sense to me. Don't go in there. You don't want to get bit by a shark. Don't get in the water. But we've also seen it go wrong and had some problems and did some damage. And there was shame here and there. And then there's like people rushing into marriage at 18, 19, 20 years of age that, quite frankly, I would say are not ready, shouldn't be doing that yet. No, don't. You know, why are you rushing in to get married? Just because you've been dating for 6 months and your parents read I Kissed Dating Goodbye and your youth group did a whole series on it? So, Christian kids, teenagers, young adults, dating or not dating, somewhere in between. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Antoinette calling in from Charlotte. Well, she was there. Now she's gone. All right. So hey, just a little heads up on the call-in thing. If you call in and you call in right before a break, you're going to be on hold for 4 or 5 minutes. If it's a show where I have a bunch of callers, you might be on hold for 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. So when you call in, just make sure you have the time. I know what happens. People go, oh, gosh, I can't stay on hold this long. I get that. But just so you know, odds are you're not going to call in and get right on the air. You're probably going to have to hold for a few minutes. So that would be helpful. Just a little tip there for you if you want to call in. And I would love to hear from you on this notion, this topic of dating. Should they not? And are you still in that camp? I kiss dating goodbye. Our kids shouldn't be dating at all, not till they're ready to get married. And that's what that whole notion of date to marry. That's the phrase, date to marry. How do you date to marry? Well, here you go. Number one, make sure you're ready for marriage. Before you decide to date for marriage, it's important to make sure you're ready for it. Stick to your dating criteria. If you're looking for a lifelong partner, you likely have a mental or physical list of must-haves. Spiritual, hopefully. This is a secular website, obviously. Be intentional on first dates. When you date for marriage, it's a very purposeful experience. Make the most of each moment to get to know the person on a deeper level. And by the way, you should probably tell them, right? By the way, just so you know, I'm dating now at this point in my life because I'm really interested in finding a spouse. And if their eyes go wide as saucers and they turn white as snow, you might know that that's probably not the right person to date. But then there's this one, why you should never actually date to marry. When you enter a new relationship, you should be upfront about your expectations. You should let your person know you're getting ready to settle down and don't want to play games anymore. You should make sure you're on the same page about your future, because if you aren't looking for the same type of things, the relationship clearly isn't going to work. And this one, we could broaden this one out if we had time, but we don't. And you're like, okay, should you even bother dating a non-believer? If you're a believer, you call yourself a Christian, and you actually, you know, pretty serious. Should you ever even bother to date a non-Christian? Now, I would say no, but what if you're not sure? They said they're a Christian. Okay, see, now it's a case-by-case basis, as somebody said earlier. I remember in college, this is on Facebook, there were several times I ended up in a car with a guy. See, and then you're thinking, that, oh, we're just going somewhere, blah, 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 blah. But one thing leads to another, right? We've all heard that talk. You probably, several of us probably down that road. And then now you're getting bit by the shark, so to speak. And that's because you got into the water. You didn't mean to go there. You didn't like, I'm going to jump in the water and get bit. But it can happen, obviously. And we do have... since Roe versus Wade, we've got a pretty impressive, if I can use that word, track record on the results of irresponsible dating and sex outside of marriage. And sadly, sex inside of marriage as well, which it's remarkable. My wife's dealt with pro-life stuff for years and counseling and stuff. How many moms come in that are seriously considering abortion or get abortions and their moms already? It's mind-boggling. Right? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Don's calling in from here in North Carolina. Don, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, this is Don. My kids have been in your class, so we appreciate it. Love your class.
Excellent. And,
thank you. I guess first time calling, first time listener.
Awesome.
And I would just say, yeah, I love the book that you're suggesting. And then the other piece is, one, as a parent, I always look at my kids' heart, right? What's their heart? Are they seeking after the Lord? And that kind of tells me if they're ready to date or not. But then the other piece is, are they trying to be the best spouse, the best husband, the best wife they could be before they're even, you know, getting ready for dating?
Yeah.
So those are two big key things. And obviously for us, parent involvement is huge. So, you know, get involved in your kid's life and in their dating process if they're choosing a date. So anyway, appreciate it so much.
Sure. Now, Don, let me ask you a real quick question, then I'll let you go. Is there a line in the sand in terms of age? Like if my daughter's 14 and says, hey, I'm going to go on a date, my answer is a hard and fast no. if she's 16 or 17, I'm like, okay, let's talk. Who is this guy? He's going to have to come over here, stuff like that. Is there an age for you guys that you're like, it's a big no if it's this age, but if you get to a certain age, then we'll have the conversation.
Well, we do a lot of the, not necessarily dating, but hey, you can go in a group.
Yeah.
If you're like 17 or 18, go in groups and all, but you know, our, I guess, second oldest daughter was 17 or so when she went on our first date, but a lot of times we get the group thing first for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, she was a little more mature, and we said, okay, she can handle
right.
it.
Yeah, and I think
14, no way.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Don, thanks so much for your kind words, and thanks for calling in today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. And I'm good with that. Are you good with that? You're like, okay, how mature are they? This is where you have to be careful, where we have the kind of the older brother syndrome. I want it all written out. That's the rich young ruler too, right? Hey, what are the commandments? Hey, I've done all that. Really? Okay, let me test your heart a little bit further here. And so you have to manage the situation, right? How mature are they? Your 16-year-old son says, I want to go to a movie with this girl from school. And I'm like, a 16-year-old boy, testosterone, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I kind of know what I'm dealing with. And who is this girl? And before you ever get to a movie, go do something by yourselves. Let's meet this person. She can come over. Have you met her parents? And I don't remember who said this earlier. Maybe it was Patricia. That was a rule for her parents. If some guy comes to your house to pick up your daughter and he just sits in the driveway in his car, to me, that's a hard no. I'm like, no, you're not gonna date this putz. If he doesn't even have enough of a backbone or enough of respect for you or your family to walk up to the stinking door and introduce himself. Hi, Mr. Noble. You put your hand out. You shake my hand. You look me in the eye. All right, that's a good start. But if you just sit out in the, make it worse. Sit out in the driveway and honk or text. I'm here. No, that's not going to fly. So what you're telling me is not only our daughter, but her parents aren't worthy of your 50-foot walk out of your parents' car up to my front door to look me in the face. And then I'm thinking, okay, that's immaturity to a certain extent, maybe bad parenting back at this kid's house, whatever. And I'm just, no. So with the dating thing, I think ultimately for a lot of people, when you go read through these things, like the golden rule in Christian dating, this is from John Piper's website. Okay, so some pretty good stuff here. The first rule in dating is the first rule in all of life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? You will not truly love anyone else if you do not love God first and most. So if God isn't first in your life, don't be messing around with that love relationship with somebody else. You got to make sure he actually is your Lord and Savior. Okay, I'm with you there. The golden rule in dating, but after embracing and applying the first and greatest commandment, I have found that the golden rule in dating is this. Lean hard on the people who know you best, love you most, and will tell you when you're wrong. Ooh, super important. Like the people that know you, or you know your son, you know your daughter, their friends, other Christians, good counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And they're saying, hey, your boyfriend, your girlfriend is a dirtbag. That's the wrong person for you. You have to have enough humility to listen. You got to have enough humility to listen. So that's a good one. I like that. The third wheel we all need today more than ever. We're faced with a never-ending buffet of opinions and advice that has something to say about everything and yet lets us choose the answer we want. How far should we go physically? How soon should I start dating after a breakup? What things should I be looking for in a guy? What are girls looking for in a guy? Blah, 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 blah. We won't have trouble finding an answer or a dozen answers to any of our questions in relationships. The scary reality is that we can find an answer somewhere to justify what we want to do, right or wrong, safe or unsafe, wise or unwise. The advice we choose might be from a book or a doctor, yada, yada. But you know what it needs to be, you know, the Christian worldview. What does the Lord say? And if you can't handle the temptation, if you can't handle the shark, don't jump into the pool. But also don't be ashamed by other Christian families if you allow your son or daughter to date. Don't let them pull the old I kiss dating goodbye shame routine on you. You have a conversation with them, but God's going to hold you accountable for what's going on. To a certain extent, with your children's lives, and be responsible and be engaged. That's what we're all called to do. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.